Would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. And before we begin, we'll go ahead and open the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word again. We just pray that you'd give me clarity of speech, clarity of mind, that we might look into the scriptures, rightly divide them, and that we might learn more about Jesus Christ and how that we can know him better and to serve him better also. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? A few of you, okay. I think I got an opportunity a few years ago. If not, we're going to talk about someone tonight who went on a cruise, but it's not the kind of cruise we think about. And that's Paul on his trip to Rome. I know when I went on a cruise, we tried to pick a month in May or so, so that the weather would be nice, because you don't want to go when the winds are bad and it's choppy. It's not as good a trip or a vacation. But Paul didn't have that opportunity. But we're going to open up and we're going to look at Paul in chapter 27 of Acts. Luke writes it. God has given him the task of writing in this one chapter in detail the things that happened with Paul on his trip from Jerusalem to Rome. And so we're going to look at that tonight as he traveled and see some of the things that took place and some things that we can learn from that. If you would turn back before you begin into Acts 23:11, just to begin, and we know that Paul had been in prison. Paul had been arrested for preaching the gospel and for false accusations, in essence. And yet, he had appealed. They found out that he was not only a Jew, but he was also a Roman. So he's appealed to go see Caesar in his quest for justice. But in 23:11, it says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So he tells Paul in this verse that he's going to go to Rome. He's going to go to Rome. He's going to stand before the people in Rome and preach the gospel. So this gives us an indication. This is God's will. God gives him this promise. And God, we're going to see, is going to fulfill that promise, even though there's going to be circumstances and people that it looks like going to change that plan. We say that God fulfills his promise. When God makes a promise, he's able to fulfill it. And then if you would look at Acts 25:12. "Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go." In other words, here again, you've appealed to Caesar, you're going to Caesar. So here again, God's will being shown that it's going to take place. Then in the last verse of chapter 26, he stands before Agrippa, and he said, "Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." So they really didn't have any real proof or any evidence against Paul to convict him, but he had appealed to go to Rome or to see Caesar, and so that's what they're going to do. They really, it's like with Christ, he was passed around between the different groups of people, governor, the king, and so forth, and they really didn't know what to do with Paul. And so they said he's a Roman, and he's appealed to Caesar, so that's where he'll go. And that's where in chapter 27, verse 1 begins. And we're going to read a little, and then we'll kind of explain as we go along. "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band." Someone determined that it was time for Paul and these other prisoners to go to Rome. Here again, we see Paul is not really a criminal, but he's being treated as one. Just like with Jesus Christ, when you know he was among the criminals, yet he was innocent of no wrongdoing. And yet we see Paul, the same thing happened to Paul. Then in verse 2 it says, "And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we put to sea, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. This Aristarchus was a friend of Paul. We have seen him mentioned in other places in the Scriptures. He was a companion of Paul in several instances in prison. But on this particular trip, we see that Luke and Aristarchus were with Paul. They accompanied him. They were not prisoners, but they went along with Paul to take care of him and as a companion. It says, in the next day, here, let's turn the projector on. Do you have this slide? Okay, here he's arrested in Jerusalem, and he's leaving Caesarea, and they're going to sail. Oh, it's about a 40 or 50 mile journey to Sidon, and there they're going to port or go into port. And that's where verse 3 begins, and it says, the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius, that was the guard or centurion, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. So this guard, you might say, that was with him, evidently had heard Paul speak before. He knew Paul was not guilty of anything, and he had respect for Paul. And so he allowed Paul, perhaps with another guard, to go to his friends in Sidon to be refreshed. In other words, to have a good meal before they took their long journey. It was a cramped quarters, and they would have a place. He would get some rest, food, perhaps clothing and so forth that he would need for his journey. So we see here that Paul, even his enemies, God allowed them to work with Paul and to meet Paul's needs in a case of going to shore at Sidon. Verse 4, and when we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus because the winds were contrary, or the winds were are bad. They were forceful. So we see when they left here, they would normally have sailed this way. But because the winds were bad, they sailed around this way where the mountains and the be close to shore. If you've ever been in a boat in a big body of water, you don't want to be out in the middle when the wind's blowing hard, because you're going to get a rough ride and perhaps the boat's going to capsize. So you stay close to shore. So they did. Takes them longer. But sometimes on the sea of life, when we're going through life, Paul had a destination, and that destination was Rome. We have a destination, heaven. And in this life's journey, we don't always get the easy shortcut. We have to go through storms and trials in life. That's part of life. And so just as they set sail, they weren't able to go the exact way they wanted to go or had planned on going, perhaps. So they wound up going around Cyprus to avoid the winds. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us on board. So when they got to Myra, evidently this ship was from, let's see, Adramidium up here, and it probably had planned on going back up through here and going here. So they had caught a ride to this place to get a change of boats, and here they're going to pick up another boat. The centurion finds another vessel that's headed for Rome that had come from Alexandria down here in Egypt. We know that from history that, and from this later on in this chapter, that they were carrying grain, because Italy got a lot of Rome, and Italy got a lot of their food from Egypt, their wheat and so forth. So this centurion found the ship, and he put them on it. It says, and when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarcely were come off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salome. And passing it with difficulty, came into a place which is called Fair Havens, near to which was the city of Lycia. So when they left here, they had planned on going this through here. But when they got to Nidus, the winds were so bad from the east, coming in from the east, that they wound up going this way, sailing down this way. And it says they came close to the shore. This was a rocky coastline. So it says they came close to it, so they had to stay far enough away that they did not run into the rocks. And then it says they go to a place called Fire Havens. It was a fire place to stay, be at this time. So it was a haven, and it gets its name from that. But it wasn't necessarily a good place to winter in. And we're going to see that in just a few minutes. Verse 9, now when much time was spent, in other words, they had spent a lot of time traveling, and that's going to be important because they left over here, and now they're up in this area here, right back down here, and they spent a lot of time going this long route. And when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them. It says the fast was already passed. That's usually the Passover or the Day of Atonement. And usually that was in the last, in October. So it was sometime between September and October that they landed or came to Fair Havens. So it was late in the year, and that was the time that the storms would have been the worst. The worst time to travel was at this time. And it's because they had been delayed. But we know that God was, all the time, God was behind the scene working in this situation. He was going to use Paul. See, Paul was going to Rome to preach, but wherever Paul was, Paul had opportunity to preach the gospel or to be a witness for the Lord. He was a witness for the Lord. It didn't matter where Paul was. So the Lord, he was always looking for a way or the Lord to use him in any situation. And that's why I think we have this record of the shipwreck in chapter 27, is to show us Paul's faith. And the influence that faith had on other people. It's just like with us. Paul's going to stand up. Now, can you imagine Paul being a preacher who most people would look at didn't really know much about the sea, but Paul had been on many missionary journeys. He had been on the sea a lot, maybe more than the people on the ship here. But we'll see that Paul's going to make a statement here. Him as a prisoner, he says to the centurion, he says, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with injury and much damage, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives." So we see Paul giving a warning here to the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship, and he's telling them, says, you know, "I perceive," in other words, by experience, the time of year that it is. And perhaps God had told him also, God perhaps had told him that it was going to be a shipwreck and what was coming about. We're not told. Perhaps he did know. But the time of the year was, it was pretty obvious that the weather was going to be bad. So Paul is trying to tell him, let's don't leave this port. Let's stay here. If you would, turn to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16. One of the things I want to show you here, that Paul took the responsibility to warn them of danger. Here he is, a preacher of God. It's the same way in our life. When we see people going down the wrong path, making the wrong choices, we have a responsibility to warn those people of the consequences. We're not to sit quiet. Paul didn't sit back to be quiet. He knew what he was talking about. He had gotten a word from God or from his experience that it wasn't a good time to sail. In Ezekiel 3:16 says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die," that's what Paul was telling them, "there may be loss of life. Thou shalt give, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So he says here, we have a responsibility to tell others. He says, if you tell people of the danger ahead, and he turns around, he doesn't change, if you fail to warn him of what's to come, he says his blood, and that man dies, his blood will I require at thy hand. We'll be responsible for that man, for not warning him. But he says if we warn him and he doesn't obey it, then we're free. So we have the responsibility as believers, when we see our friends, whoever it might be, and they're going down that wrong road, they're doing something that we know is wrong and should be doing, we're to warn those people. There's judgment to come. There's judgment to come. And that the broad way leads to destruction. So we're like these watchmen to the house of Israel. We're to warn. Paul did that. He tells them what's going to happen. Look at verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the greater part advised to depart from there also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia or Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in a haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and northwest. History tells us that this fair havens, where they were docked or where they had set port in, was about 5 miles from Lycia. It wasn't a very good place. The wind could get to the ship. It was better in the summer than it was the winter, but it would have been okay to stay there, but it wasn't convenient. We don't know if that's because there was no entertainment, no place for them to stay, or what it might be, but it was where God wanted them to be. So sometimes we might be in a place that we don't really think is the best place, because they're going to look out and they're going to say, we need to go to Phoenix, which was a little bit, about 40 miles west of Fair Havens. You think, well, that's 40 miles. They've already come all this way. They just got to go 40 miles and everything will be nice. They'll have, you know, it'll be life of luxury if we can make those 40 miles. But we're going to see that those 40 miles was treacherous. They didn't make it. So, Paul warns them. Then they didn't particularly care for the place where they were. They wanted to go a little bit further to Phoenix. So they took a vote. And it says that the greater part advised to depart from there. So we had to, you think about it, you had the pilot of the ship or the captain of the ship. He was the one who was responsible for where they went. Then the owner of the ship was on here also. He cared about the ship because it was his financial investment. So they had to make a decision with the centurion, and they did. They decided, we're going to go and try to make this 40 miles because everything will be perfect and perfect, a place to stay. So they decide, and they decide to do it. And then look at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening from there, they sailed close by Crete. So now on top of this, they begin to think, here we have all this experience. I'm the captain of the ship, the owner of the ship, and the centurion. They must know more than Paul does. See, that's the way we are sometimes. We want to take advice from the greater or from the majority who might have degrees, diplomas, or whatever it might be, doctor beside their name, or whatever it might be, when the Lord has used Paul, just an ordinary preacher. And we know that in scriptures it tells us he's going to use the simple to confound the wise. So he doesn't always use the people who are, we would consider more knowledgeable than others. But it's God's word that has to be followed. But notice it says that south wind blew softly. So here, after they've decided they're going to do it, all of a sudden the wind dies down and it's a southern, real smooth, slow southern wind going the direction they want to go. Everything looks good. So it says they supposing that they had obtained their purpose. In other words, they made a decision not based on the Word of God or God's servant, but they based it on circumstances. They looked around and says, it must be God, it must be the best for us to do this because the winds have died down. Everything is perfect. So they made a decision. How many times have we ever done that? Where we look at things and we say, everything fit together so good, God must be in this. Well, sometimes Satan can use that disguise too. We have to be careful that whatever we do, that it's according to the Word of God, that it parallels or lines up with the Word of God, because if not, we'll go on supposing and guessing rather than what the Word of God says. And that's what they did. They looked at the circumstances. If things look good, we know it must be for us to sail. But they didn't realize that God was in control. And God was going to act in the next verse. Verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. That's like a cyclone. It means a swirling wind. They began to be tossed about. So things change. See, that's the way Satan does. He gives us hope. We take off in this direction. All of a sudden, things change. It's not what it appeared to be. And that's a good weapon of Satan. So they had made the wrong choice. It says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. In other words, they just kind of let the ship do what it had to do. They couldn't control it anymore. It was out of their hands. And running under the lee of a certain island, which is called Cauda, we had much work to secure the boat, which when they had hoisted it, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. They had, in that day, lifeboats. They didn't, on a cruise, now they'll have them around the ship on the sides, but in those days they carried or towed a smaller boat behind a big boat, and that was for emergency or as a lifeboat in case of an emergency. So they took that boat in. It said things got so bad they didn't want it to lose it. And then it says that he undergirded the ship. They wrapped rope around the bottom of the ship, kind of tied it up because the waves were so bad and the wind that they were afraid the ship was going to come apart. They didn't have the ships that we have today. They were probably wooden. And so they wrapped that rope over and around to hold it together. And it says they feared that it will go into quicksands. Down in this area, down in here, was known for quicksand in here. And it was shifting, or sand, and it would shift from time to time. And so they were afraid they were going to hit one of those sand dunes because they were constantly moving, as I said. And being exceedingly, verse 18, tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. So they started throwing things off the ship. And you're going to see, and it says, the next day, and the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackle of the ship. So they start throwing things off the ship to cut down on the weight so that it won't hit bottom. Because the more weight, the further the bottom of the ship goes down into the water. So they thought they would throw off some of the things, perhaps the furniture and so forth. And they started casting it off. That's a good example. When we're in trouble, when we see the Lord working and we get into a storm, things change values, don't they? In other words, all of a sudden the thing that you thought was very important becomes useless. It's a burden. It's a weight, a sin and weight. The Bible says throw off those sin and whatever sin weight that besets us. So here we see them begin to lighten their load, take these things on. Things take on a different perspective. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackle of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now this is the beginning of where Paul is going to show his faith. And he's going to demonstrate to them the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. That was the way they navigated. The stars and the sun was how they knew where they were. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have any other means of going. They had to go by the stars. So it had been several, many days, and they had not seen any stars or nothing. They had no way of knowing where they were. They were just at the mercy of the sea, and really the mercy of God. And it says, no small tempest lounged. They were like a football in the ocean, just bouncing around. They were up and down. And we're going to say they were sick. They couldn't eat. For 2 weeks, they hadn't eaten. Would not eat because they were so sick. It was so bad. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So we see now that the people on the ship, the prisoners and those who were guards and so forth, their hope was gone. In other words, death. All they could see was dying. See, death had them in bondage because they couldn't eat, they couldn't do anything. Their whole mind was on the fact that they were not going to make it. They were going to die. So, we see them at a point now, they cast off everything that they could, and now they come to the realization that their life's in danger and they're probably not going to make it. But look at verse 21. It says, but after being long without food, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. So they'd been with many days without food. Then Paul, notice Paul hadn't spoken since he warned them not to leave in verse 11. The next time Paul speaks, he gives them a warning, or he gives them the bad news, you might say. It's the way we are when we give the gospel. We have to tell people they're sinners. We got to make them aware that they're sinners. So he says, y'all should have listened to me. You've heard that before, haven't you? All of us have. You should have listened to me. I told you. But notice that two things. First of all, Paul waited until they were at the end of their rope. Sometimes when we're witnessing to people, we have to be, the Spirit has to lead us when to speak to people at certain times, because the Lord sometimes has to take people to the end of their rope where they've got no way out before they'll really listen to us. So Paul, here's Paul, a prisoner. Now he stands up. See, they're without hope now. They're going to listen to Paul now. But notice Paul, when he says this, he'll mention to them the bad news in one verse, but in verse 22, he immediately changes around and gives them the good news. He says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. So he shows grace and mercy. He says, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but only of the ship. So Paul says, don't fear, don't worry. See, I'm sure they're starting to think Paul was right about not leave. We shouldn't have left. Because he done brought them back to repentance. He done brought them back, saying we should have listened to Paul. Now he starts to give them a little bit at a time. He says, there's not going to be any loss of any man's life, only of the ship. And now he's going to say why he can say fear not, or to be at peace. He says, for there stood by me this night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve. So Paul makes it personal here. He said, then angels came. I got direct revelation from God. This is God. This is not what I think or what I'm thinking. This is from God. And this is what's going to take place. He says, whose I am. I belong to Him and I serve Him. Notice, he's God's possession. He's been bought with a price through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he serves Him out of love and gratitude because of who He is. So Paul makes it very clear that he serves the true living God and that he belongs to Him. And he's going to take care of Him in essence. Saying, fear not, Paul. This is what the angel said. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Here again, he's reviewing it again, telling you, you've got to be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And he says, those that are on the boat with you, they're going to be saved also. So we do sometimes have an influence on other people because of a Christian being in the presence. God says, I'm going to give you all these men. None of them will be lost. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Notice that word, I believe God. He makes it very clear that his God he can trust. Paul speaking from experience. He wants them to know that he believes God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Everything that I'm telling you that God has revealed to me is going to happen. You can count on it. That's the way we should be about God's Word. God's Word, we should trust God's Word and trust God that we can tell others that this is going to happen. You can count on it because God cannot lie. He says, however, we must be cast upon a certain island. So he doesn't tell them where. Paul doesn't say how God's going to deliver them. They're out in the storm. The waves are coming into the ship. They're about to sink. And yet Paul tells them this. They have no way to how they're going to be delivered. Paul doesn't know how God's going to do it, but he knows God will do it somehow. It may not be the way Paul thought it was going to be. Sometimes God works in our life and does things not necessarily the way we think he's going to do it. He does it the way he does it, so he gets the glory for it. So we see that Paul is a witness here. He says, but when the 14th night was come, so can you imagine 2 weeks of a storm and you haven't eaten and how bad it is, and you're thinking, I'm going to die. As we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the sailors deemed it that we drew near to some country. So they're drifting out in this area right in here, and they're getting over here close to Malta. They don't know it, but that's where they are. And it says, and sounding found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. That's about 120 feet to 90 feet. And what I've read from all I hear, they had a weight that they would drop down in the water. I've done this fishing. You drop a weight down and it hits the bottom. You put your finger where the water is. You pull it out of the water and you measure the distance. And you know how deep the water is. So they knew that they heard something to tell that they were getting close to land. Then they checked it out by dropping these weights in there and measuring the distance. And the water was getting shallower, so they knew they were approaching land. So they thought, here's the island that Paul just told us about. Then fearing lest we should fall upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. In other words, it was night, midnight. And so they knew they were near land. They couldn't see it, but they knew we were getting that way. So now all they had to do was wait for day. They were just waiting for light. They were in darkness. What an example, again, of the lost. They're in darkness, waiting for the light. And as the sailors were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under pretense as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. So there were some of the sailors on there that were supposed to throw the anchors out. Well, they began to throw out the small boat. They were going to flee. They were going to get out of the boat and get away from everybody else. Reminds me of the shepherd, the hireling of the shepherd. When the danger comes, he flees the flock. They were going to get away. They were looking out for number one. But we're going to see that Paul, they didn't pull anything on Paul. Paul saw it. Paul knew it. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. So it's dependent that everyone stays in the ship. You've heard that before too, haven't you? Even with Noah, everybody had to stay in the ship. But these sailors that were going to escape and leave would have been necessary for them to help get the boat to shore and to do what was necessary. See, God had told them that he was going to save them. They would not lose life. God doesn't expect us or doesn't want us to sit back. He tells us he's going to do something. Some things we have to do for ourselves. God does what we can't do, and then some things he expects us to do. We don't just sit back and say, well, God's going to take care of it and do nothing. That's not the attitude. But Paul knew that these guards or these sailors were going to be necessary to get the ship into shore for all of them to be saved. And so that's a very good point, is except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. So they changed their mind. They cut the ropes on the boat and it fell in the water. When the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take food, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I beseech you to take some food, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Here again, he's telling them, you're not going to lose a hair. Not one person is going to lose one hair. So there again, what a sense of hope for these people that Paul has given them. God has promised it. Paul says, you're not going to lose one hair out of your head. So eat some food because it's going to be necessary when the boat gets to land for them to get to shore. It's going to take energy, and they've been all this period of time couldn't eat. So he's saying that you need to refresh yourself. When he had thus spoken, he took bread. Now Paul's going to give them an example. He says here he takes bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Here again, he gave thanks. In other words, they saw Paul again talking to his Lord, to his God. And he says, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. So we see Paul setting an example for them. He has given them the word. They began to believe Paul because he had given them the word of God, and they had seen it happen just as Paul had told them it would happen. Notice in verse 36, then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some food, some meat. So they began to eat. See, that's what we should be in life. Our reaction to things in life, storms of life that we go through, our reaction causes others to either say, he really doesn't have much, or it causes them to say, I wish I had what he had. And that's what they did. They saw that Paul was calm. See, Paul could eat, and he had no worry of what was going to take place because he knew his God. And they had served false gods, so they didn't understand that fully. But when they saw that Paul did this, it says they were of good cheer and took some food. And when we're all in the ship, 276 souls. So there were 276 on this ship. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Now here again, the third time they've cast out. Now the wheat was the thing that they were going, the ship was traveling from Alexandria to Rome, was to carry the wheat. But we see here now, since they're facing death and they've got to be saved, they throw all that out. It's not important. So they lighten the ship again. And when it was day, they recognized not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea. Most people say that they cut the anchors, just cut the rope because they wouldn't have wanted to wait on the boat. So they just cut the anchors. They committed themselves. There was no turning back. They were going to go to shore. It says they loosed the rudder bands. They had tied up the rudders to keep from being damaged in the storm. They had probably put ropes around them, so they untied those so they could control the boat and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the bow struck fast and remained unmovable, but the stern was broken with the violence of the waves. So we see that they took the boat and run it into a sandy beach-like that was away from the shoreline. And the soldiers' council, the first thing the soldiers wanted to do was kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. See, if they had lost their prisoners, they would be put to death. So they were concerned about that. So they said, let's kill all the prisoners. Don't leave any of them. But the centurion, willing to save Paul. He didn't say he's willing to save the prisoner, but in essence he does. But Paul, this centurion had respect for Paul and his God. And he had seen Paul, that Paul was not guilty of what he was accused of. He had seen God working in Paul's life. So he wanted to save Paul. Here again, God's will being done. God said, you got to go to Rome. So they couldn't have killed him because God would not allow him to die before his mission or his purpose was accomplished. Paul kept them from their purpose and the centurion was willing to keep Paul from their purpose and commanded that they who could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. So the first group is that those who could swim jump off the boat and swim to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safely to the land. Notice it says all escaped. Every one of them made it, just as Paul had told them that God had told them that they were going to all make it. Now notice they made it differently. Some of them swam, some of them on boards, some of them on broken pieces of the ship. It's just like salvation. Everybody doesn't get saved in the same setting. They get saved the same way by trusting Christ, but some people, it might be in a different situation than another person. Everybody's testimony of their salvation is a little bit different than everybody else's. So, but yet, it says all escape safely to land. So we see that God did what he said he was going to do. He's going to get Paul to Rome. He's on his way. Now, the boat in the next chapter, it says it that they landed on this island of Malta. And so that's just a little trip. So really, they didn't go too far out of the way if you really look at the map. It just took them a long time and a lot of stress. But God was able to use Paul to reveal them the true God and the fact that God was in control. I thought about it as I studied this. Paul wound up in a storm, in a situation, because of his obedience to the Lord. He was preaching the gospel. He went through these trials and all this because he was serving God. You think of someone else who got into a storm. Jonah. Think about Jonah. He got into a storm, but he was running from God. He went down. God told him to go to Nineveh, but he got on a boat. And what happened? Storm came up. They tossed Jonah overboard eventually. So you see, going through storms in life, sometimes we go through storms in life because of disobedience. Sometimes we go through storms because of obedience. So we can't always look at people's situations and judge, perhaps, which it is. That person probably knows. But we see that even Christians are not exempt from storms. Paul went through this, but ultimately God delivered him, and he was able to witness and to be a witness to other people. And then just to close, I wanted to look at some things that we can learn from this chapter. Those two that I just mentioned, Paul went through storm being obedient. Jonah went through a storm because of disobedience. Paul warns of impending disaster. He was a watchman. We're to warn of judgment to come. We're to warn people that they're on the broad way. We're to tell them, hey, you need Christ. You know, you're a sinner. You need your sins forgiven. It's our responsibility to warn people, not to be silent. Just like Paul, he spoke up and told them. The crowd is not always right. Majority on this instance was wrong. They went against the Word of God. So that's a lesson we've learned over the years. Circumstances are not to govern our decisions, but the Word of God. We don't allow, just because the winds were good and they were calm, they changed rapidly. They still, God didn't want them to go, and they went anyway. So circumstances were not to govern our decisions. Sometimes we have to allow people to reach the end of their rope before we can get them to listen. Sometimes we just have to wait on people. That's up to you and the Lord when the Lord lays on your heart. But when they got in desperation, then Paul could stand up and speak. Before, they didn't listen to Paul. But when trouble had set in and they saw the situation that we're in, that all hope was gone, then they said, well, we'll listen to you, Paul, basically. And Paul gave them good advice. And our close relationship with the Lord was seen by others, encouragement. Paul's response to the situation showed that he had faith in his God, and that he knew God would do what he said he was going to do, and had a purpose. And then last, God is faithful to his promises. He told Paul he would get, that all the people would be saved, the ship would be lost, and so forth, and that he would go to Rome, and we're going to see that does take place. So God is faithful to his promises. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word tonight, and we thank you for the privilege of sharing it, and we just pray that each one's heart's been challenged tonight from this chapter. We know that God allowed Luke to fill a whole chapter or put a chapter in here about a shipwreck, but we know that it was an example for us to learn from, that we might see these things that I just mentioned, that in this life we go through many storms, and we know that you're in charge, that you're in control of all things, We just pray that we would look to you for guidance and for that hope and that security, that we know that you're in control and that you will look after us. And we just thank you again for each one that's here tonight. We pray for safety as we travel our ways home tonight. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.